Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hey, this is Tim Brown, and this is our second episode of It's a Code World. And we're going to be talking about how to rock PPC on a small budget. That's Google Ads and such. And I'm here with my guest, Brett Middleton.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things related to PPC today. Let me go ahead and share some of the main points before we get started. And we're going to be talking about four tools that will help you right now with PPC. We'll be asking, what is PPC and how is it going to help you as a business? We're going to just give a barrage of questions to Brett here about PPC and go through stuff and get down to some actionable strategies. But first, Brett.
Yes.
How's your weekend going?
Pretty good. You know, let's see. I haven't really done anything. So kind of an ideal weekend.
exactly, right?
Yeah, I watched a couple Keanu Reeves movies.
Which ones?
I saw John Wick, and then I rewatched the first Matrix movie, Blu-ray, the way it's meant to be experienced.
John Wick, though, so he's still at, like, Keanu Reeves, they're still letting him be in movies.
Yes. Yeah, and I also heard they're going to make a third Bill and Ted movie. So
no,
I can't wait
way
for that. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I'm going to research it right now. But
I love Bill and Ted movies. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, something, like, honestly, he kind of went the wrong direction with his career a little bit. He got very serious there. And he's kind of a little bit of a funny guy in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, especially those first couple Matrix movies or whatever, I think everyone was totally on his side. But being just a serious actor and then having, like, your first couple movies be Bill and Ted's movies, mm-hmm. I just feel like you kind of got to be okay with, like, getting some roles where you're not taking yourself that seriously.
Yeah. I mean, he kicked ass in Point Break. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome movie, which I've heard they're also remaking. But it's going to be like a complete remake of the movie. I don't think he's involved in that at all. The other movie of his that I feel like is kind of critically underappreciated would be The Replacements.
Okay.
He is kind of funny in that movie, you have to admit. Look at this. Bill and Ted 3. Sequel confirmed by Keanu Reeves.
So that is incredible. I'm seriously so excited about that. Yeah,
mind blown. You heard it here first.
Yeah. That is awesome. We're out here. It's a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday, Brett, but we're hustling still. We're working on a podcast. I did go to that concert. I went to My Morning Jacket. That was really fun. We went to the search, the Men Search event on Friday, which was really good.
Super cool.
Who was your favorite speaker at that, Brett?
I mean, it probably has to be Will Reynolds.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
He was epic.
So good. So good. Yeah. What were some of the key takeaways that you felt? It was a search engine optimization event, essentially. Mm-hmm. Content marketing a bit.
I mean, he basically just stood in front of a room of content and SEO marketers and told them that what they were doing was wrong and kind of laid out the path to correct it, that you shouldn't be doing something if people aren't going to miss it if it wasn't online. You know, that just kind of blew my mind thinking about it that way, where I've made all these PPC campaigns and written these text ads for people, and, you know, if those weren't there, would people searching for those keywords miss it, you know?
Yeah.
Even from a PPC perspective, he gave me something to think about.
Yeah, essentially it was just like, would anyone miss your content if it wasn't there? And a couple of things, really, really good points. One of them was, this kind of thing has been around for longer than you and I and longer than anyone has ever said content marketing or anyone has ever said SEO. So content marketing examples being Michelin. Mm-hmm. It's the Michelin stars for restaurants. That is the same Michelin as Michelin tires. And so the fact that those things existed and essentially associates quality with those companies has nothing to do per se with it. But they said it was because that chauffeurs, if they were driving out to these restaurants, mm-hmm. would use more tires.
Yep.
But all told, it's just it associates quality with their brand because they provided this content, and this has been around for 100 years. And same with the Guinness Book of World Records, that's the same thing as Guinness beer. They're the same company, so it's been around for that long, and it's essentially content marketing.
Yeah, which that's crazy that it started out as, you know, like that bet between two guys who were out hunting and drinking, and they wanted to develop a book that guys could refer to when they're in a bar and say, "No, I'm right. Buy me a drink right now, bitch." Because you know they couldn't go out and Google things, yeah. So that they found a need that wasn't at all tied to what they did as a company and filled it. And yeah, that just blows my mind that
they're just trying to provide something awesome. And yeah, so Will Reynolds was saying, you know, do something like that that's seriously providing value for people that associates quality with your company, and so associates your brand with this content. And another big piece that I felt that he shared was just make less content, mm-hmm. but make better content, essentially, was the implied thing. Stop making shitty content.
Yeah.
And that's a really challenging thing for a person who's essentially in content marketing. But clearly, the stuff that's bigger and, you know, has deeper research and is more thought out, you know, each one of those kind of either blog posts or, you know, landing pages or content hubs, it gives your website authority. It gives your website backlinks and all these things. So it really does make sense to be thinking about it in that way. How can we make something that people will miss if it's gone?
Yeah.
You know, just that whole idea. Smart huge. Guy. Yeah, absolutely huge. So I do have, excuse me. We gotta talk about our subject today.
Okay.
So real high level, explain to me PPC as if I were a 12 year old.
Okay.
And go real simple and high level. What is it and why does it matter?
Sure. Now, Tim, were you the kind of like the 12-year-old that did you have a lemonade stand or did you have any of that kind of?
I was a piece of shit 12-year-old.
Perfect.
No, I'm just kidding. I was a 12-year-old who was very, very curious. I don't think I gave any
none fucks shit.
About digital marketing at that age. Actually, you know, I did do a website kind of early on, but I had no idea about.
Oh, I'm not even talking about a website. Like, did you have any kind of little, like, 12-year-old kid business? Like, were you, did you ever go around and sell candy bars for your school?
No.
Did you have a little lemonade stand in the summer? Did you?
I did babysitting at that time.
Perfect. Okay, yeah. As a babysitter. How did you talk about yourself?
I don't know. Find clients? I can mow the lawn. Also, while I babysit, so I can do two things at once.
But like, how did you find your clients, though?
I just think about how dangerous I was. I literally did that. I would be babysitting three kids at 12, and then like mow their lawn too for like $5 an hour. Can you imagine? Why did people let me do that?
I have no idea, dude.
Oh my goodness!
I would never let subject my child to that. But. I'm guessing that you probably found your clients, like, people in your neighborhood.
Yeah, neighborhood.
Yeah. So, let's say that...
local SEO.
Yeah, no, local SEO. So, 12-year-old Tim Brown, piece of shit kid that he is, wants to find a way to grow his... wants to find a way to grow his babysitting lawn mowing business.
Yeah.
oh, boy. So, you can't just count on leads coming in from your neighbors. The best way for you to be there is to find those parents that are looking for a babysitter lawnmower at the point where they're performing that initial research, looking for, they get them to type in babysitting lawnmowers here in Medina, Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And all of a sudden, they see an ad right here. They perform, oh my God.
Tim Brown, the original babysitting lawnmower.
Babysitting lawn mowing services get both done simultaneously without costing too much. Okay, that sounds pretty good. So
$5 an hour.
Yeah, $5 an hour. I'm going to click on this guy's ad. So what you did there is you just took yourself, and instead of relying on those referrals or organic traffic, you decided to go ahead and put your advertisement in front of people when they needed you the most, when they're ready to make a buying decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that online. That might count as PPC.
That is a brilliant explanation of PPC. Four tools that will help you right now with PPC, if you could go over them kind of quick. Just busting out some value for people.
Just some real quick value builders here. All right. If you're someone who is new to PPC, and everyone knows what Google AdWords is, the first couple of tools I'm going to give you are just within AdWords, but they're not things that are used commonly. Even at the Search Engine Conference on Friday, one of the speakers asked us to turn to the person next to you and talk about your favorite tool when you're optimizing a PPC campaign, and I brought up automated rules as mine, and the person next to me said, "What the hell is that?"
I have no idea what this is. Honestly, some of the people that are listening might not know too much about PPC at all. So I would guess that a lot of us are in that category.
Yeah. Well, essentially the reason behind automated rules is you're trying to give some intelligence to your campaigns. So if, let's say you've got, you're in an ad group for your web design services, and you've got your keywords in there. In the last 30 days, maybe you've gotten one conversion in AdWords. Someone sent in a lead because they saw your design ad. And you want to make sure that keyword that's gotten a conversion continues to be in an ad position that is going to get you seen. With the keywords like that can be really highly competitive, automated rules become super useful. So what you do is, within AdWords, you're setting up this series of sequences that dictates when AdWords can go through and perform an automatic bid adjustment for you. So choose your keyword that has gotten a conversion within the last, let's say, 30 days. Tell Google to go ahead and up the bid by 10, 15, 20% when that keyword drops below an ad position of 3. And you've just set up a tool that whenever your highly converting keywords drop below the place where they're showing up in the top, Google will go ahead and automatically adjust that for you every
because
day.
They're performing successfully, right?
Yes. Okay. So you want to identify that, you want to have it set up to bump up the keywords that are doing well for you, that are converting.
So in keyword tools, where is that in keyword tools that I can make sure to do that?
Yep. So you're in your AdWords campaign.
Yep.
Yep, and there'll be a little tab that just says automate. You click on that automate tab.
Okay, so it's at the top of your campaign, it says automate.
Mm-hmm.
And you go
change max CPC bids when. So you clicked on automate.
Change max CPC bids when, and I click on that. And then it gives me the stuff to fill out. I increase the bid by,
let's just do 10%.
10%.
Yeah. Then go ahead and define your max bid.
So let's say it was, my max bid before was $2.01. Now I'm going to put it up to $2.51.
Mm-hmm.
And this click-through rate was greater than what?
Two is considered an average click-through rate.
So if more people than 2% are clicking through on this, make sure that you increase the bid. Essentially, is what we're telling Google.
That would be one way to do it. The other way is, like I said earlier, you could actually change that requirement to conversions.
Okay. Which is a little bit more in-depth there.
Yep.
Okay, and then you press save, and you've got that. Mm-hmm. You've got that in there.
Yep, you've got that rule set up now.
All right, let's go to the next one here. We got AdWords scripts.
Yep, similar to automated rules, but they're much, it's really JavaScript code that you're enabling within your AdWords campaign. They could be things that are simple as generating an automated report for you every week, so you can have Google spit out your impressions, cost, conversions, clicks, all that data. It'll build some charts for you. You could put in some scripts that...
Where do I find this?
Well, you can actually perform a quick Google search for AdWords scripts.
AdWords scripts,
yep, the first result should actually be Google's development website that you can, even without having any coding experience, you can go in here and there'll be some samples that you can pull out.
And what does this do for me as a person trying to... do rock PPC on a small budget?
Yes. Well, there are a couple of things you can do here. You could do bid position testing, which is the primary use that I would suggest for this.
Okay.
So let's say you want to find out if it's most cost effective for you to be at an ad position of 3, average position of 2, average position of 4, whatever. You can have Google run a couple of different testing scenarios. So let's say week 1. You're at a position of 2, then Google will drop you down to 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then it'll give you all the results to see what your return on ad spend was from those periods. See if there's any big.
It sounds hard.
It's not really that hard because they're actually giving you the scripts. All you have to do is go put them into your AdWords campaign.
Where do you pop them in?
All you're going to do is go to your AdWords campaign, bulk operations within AdWords, and then scripts. You can create and manage scripts right there. If you have some JavaScript ability.
And then you push plus script.
And you
drop in the piece that they give you. Yes. And so one of the things you do is you can get it to show at a particular spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you've noticed that being at that spot has been good for you, right?
Well, you don't even need to notice it. You run the bid position testing script that AdWords gives you.
Okay.
And it'll perform the test for you. It'll run your ads at different positions. It'll make the bid adjustments for you, then it'll just give you the results.
Awesome. So, and then you change where you want to be in your ad.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to the next one here.
Yep. So from there, we got another Google tool here, but this one is actually with an analytics.
Dude, you're just on Google's dick right now, dude.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but Bing doesn't do shit. So, so if we're in Google Analytics, you'll have multiple tabs there. Audience and acquisition are going to be the two that we're going to mostly look at. So within the acquisition tab, you could look at what your search engine optimization section, which seems weird because we're talking PPC here, but look at your queries. That will show you the actual search terms if you have Webmaster Tools enabled for sharing to your analytics account. It'll show you the queries that you're showing up for organically. So you might be curious about why that makes sense for a PPC person to look at. Let's say that you are a web designer and you want to show up for WordPress design, and currently your website shows up an average position of like 15 to 20 organically.
Okay.
That's how you know that that's a weakness and you need to go ahead and put some PPC spend into that keyword.
Okay.
Getting those additional searches to see the keywords and the searches that people are using to find you will let you get just a little bit more data to inform your content strategy on your website.
Yeah.
So let's say, as a web designer, there might be, there could be a keyword in there that you wouldn't expect to need to put into your website from a content perspective. But then pretty soon you see 50, 100 PPC clicks coming in and you say, oh shit, these people would never have found me if I wasn't advertising for myself. And so that can inform your content strategy and actually bulk up your SEO efforts and your SEO results because of that data from PPC.
Okay. If you're in your company, that people are sharing information. So the PPC guy is sharing information with the content strategy people, and that line of communication is open, or it's one person potentially. But just as long as that line of communication is open and that they can react to the results they're seeing from PPC and say, wow, we really need to amp up the content here.
Yep.
There's a weakness.
The other thing I would say is you can use PPC to promote content too. So let's say you've recently created an infographic or a video or something that you want people to see that's going to positively affect your business. And it might not even be kind of that high level thing or that high intent search where people are searching for web designers, but maybe they're searching for benefits of WordPress design.
Yeah.
And you've developed some piece of content about that. I guarantee you, if you take a look at like benefits of WordPress design, you might see a couple of reviews that people are advertising for, but you're probably going to show up for people that are just advertising for the keyword WordPress design as a phrase match keyword. So with phrase match, you type in those keywords WordPress design as a phrase match search that you want people performing. So as long as those two words are together in a user search, that ad is going to show up. However, it might not be super relevant. It would be much less relevant than your actual piece of content.
Like, that's about so the benefits. That's a pretty strong strategy, though. But you have to be very committed to that. You're basically committing to, hey, we want to build out like backlinks. We want to get like people to this content, and thus you're kind of going like in our situation where we're service professionals. Mm-hmm. You're a PPC guy. I'm a web designer. And we essentially in that way would be advertising to our peers.
Yeah, it's
so possible. there's no direct,
there's no direct ROI.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of what Will Reynolds was talking about, though. Yeah. Everything shouldn't be tied to ROI. So let's say that you're a freelance designer and you start using PPC campaigns to promote this video or this content about the benefits of the design that you do.
Yeah,
you might be advertising yourself to agencies or other designers that are just looking for that little snippet of info. However, that could also be potentially beneficial to you as a designer down the road. This person's going to know who you are. That could end up turning into work. You don't know at this point, but
turning into work, and then also just kind of getting you those links. Mm-hmm. Because you're providing this resource to the other people in your field. And that's always a huge part of my content strategy. But I haven't thought too much about advertising that content to my peers to get those, like paying money for advertising.
Yeah, and another way to do that too. I learned recently that social traffic can have a pretty big impact on your SEO rankings because... Yeah. Those social signals from Facebook and Twitter, traffic coming from social media to your website can really impact your SEO rankings. So even
really,
yeah,
I have not really. I was not really clear on how much that could potentially affect how your website is perceived.
Yeah, they define them as social signals that if people are coming to your site from a site like Facebook or Twitter. It generally shows that there's some value there. So if you're, let's say you're advertising that content that you just made in PPC, but then you also just go ahead and put a social campaign together on Facebook and Twitter, and you start getting traffic in from that, then you're advertising yourself, and you're also having a positive impact on SEO.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start to ask you some kind of in-depth questions here on PPC. Mm. And we're essentially trying to help people get the word out about their small business. And that's, some of this will be applied to bigger things, whatnot. And I hope some of it is, a touch point for other people in PPC. However, a lot of the people that are listening might not have a ton of experience. What's the first step before I set up a campaign to get started? So what mindset should I go into this with? What do I need to do? I need a Google account because we're talking about Google AdWords right now.
Yeah.
That's mainly what people are talking about when they say PPC, or am I out of my element?
Well, Google does have the majority of traffic, and they create a ton more ad revenue than Bing at this point. It's somewhere around 70% of traffic goes through Google. And
do people talk about PPC as Facebook?
Not really.
Facebook ads. I mean, what is that?
Technically, it is PPC because anytime that you're paying on a click basis, it's PPC. Really, what Google AdWords and Bing are is SEM or search engine marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook ads, unless you're paying, you know, paying for impressions, that's PPC.
Okay. So give me some key terms here that I'll be keeping in mind while making a campaign. Like, what are some things to be thinking about?
Well, we skipped that first step.
Okay, sorry. Go for it.
Okay. So, I mean, really the mindset that you want to get in is don't give up after a month, really. And, you know, 'cause it's really easy to get into this when you're spending your own money and you're not advertising for a client and think, if I don't get results right away, I'm just going to give up on this because it's stupid. I didn't want this business anyways. Because you're not gonna get it right the first time. So put your campaigns together, watch a lot of videos, read a lot of blogs, and know that it's probably not gonna be perfect right away.
That's such a huge thing for like any, I feel like, digital marketing discipline that you're trying to get into. You start it, be clear on the fact that you're gonna be bad for a little while,
mm-hmm.
and then you're gonna get better.
Yeah, I mean, unless you come into this, you know, making your first campaign, unless you're like reading blogs and go ahead and like take the Google AdWords certification, which you can do that for free through Google Partners. Go out and study and take the tests and get kind of a basic understanding of it, and then start building some campaigns. But I mean, ain't nobody got time for that. So the other thing I would say, besides just, you know, knowing it's not going to be perfect right away, identify your goals. So if you want to use AdWords or, you know, PPC to create brand awareness for yourself, just come into it with that mindset where you're probably going to do a mix of display and PPC ads, and know that you're just trying to
display,
get more traffic.
I don't know if we mentioned that yet. Display being...
Yep, display advertising, which you can do through Google's display network.
Yeah.
Yep. As a designer, you know, whip some beautiful ad together that's got a nice kind of enticing photo, call to action, nice little piece of ad copy, and then a kind of a service line describing what your service is.
Yep.
Ideally, put your main contact point on there, put your display URL or your phone number or something.
Okay.
And that would... We can touch briefly on display advertising right now. It's a really vital part of advertising yourself online if you want to do that really, really cost effectively. Typically with display advertising, you're spending 10 to 25 cents per click, or you could bid on a cost per thousand impression basis. So what you're doing with display advertising, you pick your targeting metrics. You can target based on demographics. Or other psychographics that Google will let you choose. Google really, in particular, focuses on interests. So if you think that stay-at-home moms or marathon runners are your primary demographic, those are examples of audiences that you can choose in Google to target.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
you can choose marathon runners?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
God, Google is creepy and simultaneously incredible for digital marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that
your Google is creepy song?
No, that was just TLC Creep.
Oh, okay. Okay, so like real zoomed in now. Mm-hmm. If I'm just getting started with a campaign, I create a Google account or access my Google account. I go to adwords.google.com, and then you just set it up from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's... They make it pretty simple for you.
Okay.
Right when signing up, they'll let you make your first campaign before even before you enter in your billing. So
yep.
You go in there. Let's say you're making that WordPress design campaign for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and name the campaign WordPress because that's going to be the main element in there. Within campaigns, you're going to find ad groups, which is the second level of organization. The ad groups themselves are going to contain keywords and ads. So let's say that you wanted to advertise for WordPress design and WordPress development. You could just be really basic and have one campaign and one ad group and then put design and development keywords in there. Yep, you don't want to be basic though. So we want to spend your money effectively. So what we do within that WordPress campaign, we make ad groups for design and we make an ad group for development. And within that, let's say within that design ad group, the only keywords we would use would be WordPress design. And we would do that in broad match and phrase match and exact match. Broad match is just the words typed out like that. Phrase match, WordPress design in quotes. An exact match would be WordPress design in brackets. And what those do is, with a WordPress design as your broad search, anytime anyone types anything in Google in your target area, that is kind of considered a synonym or something that would be relevant to WordPress design, your ad's going to show up. So
you, broad match is what now? How do you put it in there?
It's just typing it in. Okay. There's no kind of, there's no annotation for it. So it's the broadest search, obviously, it's called broad match. Yeah. You're going to get more traffic from it, but it's probably going to be less relevant. When you put, for a phrase match, you're putting that in quotes. And let's say that people are searching for freelance WordPress design or WordPress design in Minneapolis. Because you have WordPress design in quotes, if there's any, if as long as those words appear together, it doesn't matter what the rest of the search is. Your ad's going to show up. But if if you have WordPress design in phrase match and someone types WordPress new design or WordPress and design, you know, for some stupid reason, your phrase match keyword is not going to show up because the phrase wasn't entered exactly. Mm-hmm. And then exact match, you're only going to show up if the only things they type in are WordPress design.
Okay. Let's say we get into writing ads. Okay. Mm-hmm. After we've set up this main ad,
ad group for WordPress
ad design. Group. Yeah. We get in there, we set, cost per click.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're writing ads, essentially. So what are some conventions for writing ads that you use that, you know, could help people write their ads?
Perfect. It's a good question. That's a very handsome question. So the elements that you have in an ad are the headline, ad line one, ad line two, and display URL. So somewhere within there, ideally what you would do is you would have your keyword appear in the headline. So WordPress design should be your headline. Ad line one, typically what you want to do is use punctuation at the end of ad line one. So if you have a period or an exclamation point, what that will do is it will make your first line of ad text go up next to your headline. And that doesn't really sound like something that could be super important, but what you just did there is make your headline longer because people typically read that first. So by putting that headline, that ad line one with punctuation at the end and moving it next to your headline, you kind of just tricked people into reading your ad line one and headline at the same time where they might not have even looked at your ad line one text. So you want to put something nice and compelling in that ad line one.
So give me an example. Let's talk about something besides my services. Let's talk about that original idea of the babysitting lawnmower.
Yep.
Let's say, give me some examples of what, I mean, let's pretend this is a real thing that somebody's trying to sell.
Okay. So babysitting lawn mowing, headline.
Yeah.
Ad line one, mess your kids up for life.
Okay, so
another example, if you want to do some A/B testing, which by the way is running kind of simple variations of ads against each other, you want to change one component of your ad. So let's say you wanted to test ad line one. So original one, mess your kids up for life. Let me just spit.
No one's
going to
click
here.
On that, Brett.
You never know.
Give me a real one.
Comprehensive child care services.
Comprehensive child care services.
Yep.
Okay, and then what's line two, or what's the next version?
Well, line two, ideally what you want to do there is, if you didn't use a call to action, line one, throw a call to action in
there. Call to action being?
A descriptive word, contact us.
What you want them to do next.
What you want them to do.
Yeah, what's your final action that you really want them to do, or the next obvious action that you want them to do?
And you also want to insert your keyword in there. So we could do something like, Get your babysitting lawn mowing quote today.
Yep. I mean that one would require a little explanation.
Like, yeah.
We're not actually lawn mowing babies.
Oh, well, it depends. And that final element is the display URL. So you want the actual kind of domain needs to be the same. So if your website is minnesotababylawnmowing.com, that needs to be your display URL. But what you control is after the backslash. So let's say because we're advertising to Edina specifically with this one. So your display URL.
Get into that over there. Yeah,
is minnesotababylawnmowing.com/Edina. You might not even have a page on your website that is an Edina page, but you can go ahead and put that in your display URL. It doesn't have to be a real page. You just want something relevant to the search.
All right. So let's talk about...
I love remarketing.
Let's talk about remarketing.
Perfect. So, let's say you have $10 to spend on PPC each month, and you want to get something out of it.
I have 12.
Yeah, 12. That's even better.
$2 per month.
Yeah, about 20% better, I think.
Yeah.
So let's say you've got $12 a month to advertise yourself.
Just don't do anything.
Yeah,
spend that $12.
Besides getting yourself like a 12-pack of a Bud Light or something, yeah. What I would recommend is doing remarketing. So if you've got Google Analytics and Google AdWords set up, step one, link Google AdWords and Google Analytics through the admin page in Google Analytics. Enable remarketing. And when you enable remarketing, it's going to go ahead and make your first audience for you called all users. You can get into making some really complex user audiences like people that visited this specific page and were on the page for 2 minutes or more. That could be a pretty qualified lead, but let's say you only get 15 visitors to your website each month. It's going to need to be more than that. Let's say you get 100 each month. Once you've gotten 100 visitors, Google will start to show your remarketing ads. That's the minimum audience you need. And what you're going to do with remarketing is you're going to start showing an ad to the people who have visited your website and have some familiarity with you. Remarketing clicks are really cheap. I mean, you could probably get those 100, even if all 100 of those people came back to you from your ad, you're probably spending, oh my God, like a $15.
Why are they so cheap?
Well, it's because you're not hitting someone in a search engine. It's low competition because you're showing up on the side of someone's browser when they're, let's say, they're on NFL.com and they're looking at the weather. They're on the Huffington Post website.
And then it's just like babysitting lawnmowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah.
They say, oh, my God, I totally forgot that I need that. And what you do with remarketing, you're buying the opportunity to show up, when people are browsing websites that are in Google's display network over the next 30 days. So if someone clicks on goes to your website through one of your PPC ads or they see a blog or something that you did and you have remarketing enabled, they get put into that audience and then your ads will start showing to them. You get 30 days to try and kind of lure them back in. You only pay if someone clicks on your ad. So, I mean, what you're doing there is you're giving the opportunity to advertise to the people who have already shown some sort of intent in utilizing your services. And let's say that only one of them clicks to come back. That might have just cost you 15 cents, and you might have just gotten yourself another potential customer. It's just too effective of a use of money to not do. Everyone should be doing remarketing.
Boom. Drop the mic.
You're looking at your campaigns. Let's say you've already made that campaign that is a PPC text one. You launch a display network only campaign.
All right.
The first screen that you're going to get to, you just go ahead and enter in some random campaign name.
Okay.
So babysitting lawn mowing, and you choose remarketing or engagement as your objective.
Do this right now if you have a PPC campaign. Follow along.
Yeah, you should be doing this right now.
Don't put this out till tomorrow. You're not gonna do it.
No, probably not.
You're not gonna do it. Make a set right now.
Yeah.
Make a little set right now.
So let's just say this is your remarketing campaign you're making. So you would just go ahead and click remarketing. You can go ahead and define your location, but with remarketing, it doesn't even want you to set a location just because you're only targeting people who visited your website. One of the options you have is dynamic ads. That does involve a little bit more coding on your website because Google needs to know exactly what the people who visited your website looked at.
So you have to drop in a little thing for like different mm-hmm. categories.
Yeah, it's more complex. Really, if you're just spending $15 a month on this, don't worry about showing dynamic ads.
But let's say maybe it's a little bit more, like a couple hundred or whatever that they're able to spend if they're a small business.
Yeah,
probably still not the right spot.
It depends. I mean, if you have traffic that's highly specific, let's say that let's say you're a retailer and your product focus right now, you sell clothes, you want to sell some more of your vintage jeans. In that case, you really want to do some dynamic campaigns marketing to people that have looked at your jeans on the website and, you know, make it really specific. But in general, what we're trying to accomplish using PPC with a small budget to try and move the needle in your business, you just want to reinforce your brand and get people to come back to the website.
So display ads are all on other people's websites
mm-hmm.
across their display network.
Yep.
We're setting some demographic stuff. We're popping them up. And then I thought this was all visual stuff, so I have to make a visual version.
That's the best way to do it. You can put a text ad on the Google Display Network. I've heard people say that you get varying results doing that.
A visual design.
Yeah.
Visually have something up there that kind of shows why you're special.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next point. We are talking about, lastly, for these kind of like, you know, maybe they're PPC hacks kind of type of thing, the long tail search stuff. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Sure. So instead of just targeting those people, this kind of relates to what we were talking about earlier with targeting the people that might be searching benefits of WordPress design, or let's say they're looking for Minnesota's best babysitter lawnmowers, and now they're not just performing that search for babysitting lawn mowing. So you want to get the people that are searching for keywords, they're entering keywords that are three or four words or longer. About 60% of searches performed have two words. Those are the words that are the searches are going to be pretty broad. A lot of people are advertising for those. A lot of people show up well for that, and they can actually be, you know, pretty generic. An example would be, you know, there's a client that sells crushed stone. They're a granite manufacturer. That might be a good search to show up for, but architectural specialty crushed stone would show a much higher level of intent because it's someone that knows the specifics of the product. You're going to show up for that person using phrase match if crushed stone is a keyword.
But it might just be throwing like dust into the wind versus the other one. You're throwing a baseball at a target. Mm-hmm. You're saying so, architectural specialty crushed stone. This person, not only is they're looking for your specific thing, but they already are kind of very particularly aware of your niche. So just niche down. Mm-hmm. You might get a lot less impressions, but you're going to get way more clicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. Done. All right, let's go on to the next thing here. We have, you know, let's talk pro tips for how you can get the most out of your money for PPC campaigns. Have we talked about this stuff already?
A little bit, you know.
Match type variations and group keywords tightly.
Yeah, I kind of broke into that earlier.
Okay, that's fine. Write compelling copy and A-B test.
Yep.
I think we could talk a little bit more about that.
Sure.
So talk to me about, I know that maybe you don't think of this explicitly all the time, but what is compelling copy? How can I get compelling copy? Does it have to be funny? Do I have to be like inspiring? Do I have to be just very, very descriptive?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I would say, and this it kind of ties in with the concept of A-B testing, which I did touch on earlier. You're making simple variations of your ad copy and running them against each other to see which performs best. So ideally what I like to do, I like to make a really simple one that's just talks about the service, has a call to action, you know, it shows the keywords really well. So it's something that no one's really going to be offended by. It's something that people are going to see and they'll think, okay, this is pretty professionally done. I can click on that. Especially given the audience, know your audience, know who's going to be, who you want to click on your ads and write for those people.
Okay, that's super important, I think. So can we talk a little bit about search terms query reports?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Oh, those are a lot of fun. So if you're looking at the keywords that you have running in your campaigns, there's a little section you can click on that'll pull up your search terms query report. And what that is it's a collection of all
the... So I click campaigns and AdWords, and then I go to keywords, yep. And then I go details.
Yep, and then search terms will be the first
search
thing.
Search terms,
and you click all. What that will do, once your campaigns have started to get some traffic, you're going to see the list of all the searches that people entered that your keywords, that your ads came up for.
Okay.
So let's say that it's your phrase match, babysitting lawnmower. So you're going to see searches in here like best babysitting lawnmowers.
So this tells you what people searched for to find your ad.
Yes.
And clicked on it.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So it'll show you it'll only show up if they clicked on it. So you'll see the searches that, caused your keywords to be triggered. The percentage of people that clicked on it, you'll get clicks, impressions, click-through rate, average position. You'll see conversions. And you can start to make some decisions about the best keywords, you know, to use. You'll see some ones in here that you're going to say, you know what, that I don't want that just showing up from the phrase match. I want to add this exact term into my campaign. And from this screen, you can go ahead and click add as a keyword to your campaign. Or on the flip side, you can add as a negative keyword. So let's say for your babysitting lawnmower business, you don't want to show up for people that are entering the search. I hate babysitting lawnmowers. Dangers of babysitting lawnmowers. You don't want to show up for that because you're promoting yourself to an audience that's not going to click on your ad. And if they do,
so how do you get rid of that?
Let's say that dangers of babysitting lawnmowers was right in here as a search. You would click on the box next to the search and then add it as a negative keyword.
Oh, I see. Okay, yep. Nice.
Negative keywords
are... So this is in the same spot that we were just talking about.
Yep. Negative keywords are specific keywords that you don't want to trigger in your ads.
Boom.
So let's say that you sell something like incentive charts for kids and you only sell printed versions. People have to pay for them. You'll notice that a lot of searches might come up for like free online printable incentive charts or downloadable incentive charts. And if you don't set downloadable or free as negative keywords, you're going to start seeing people getting to your ads. They're making those searches.
What does the future of PPC look like, Brett?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, I'm actually in the middle of writing a blog about how Bing is going to change the face of search engine marketing. They're making a bid with Windows 10 to capture just a ton of traffic. The next step for them will be making Bing actually look less despicable. but once they accomplish both those, and PPC could be vastly different. Because right now, you make a campaign in AdWords, and then you import it into Bing. And then you lower all your bids because there's less competition in there.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's going to be how does the Internet of Things and wearables affect advertising? Because pretty soon people aren't going to be going to their desktops or their phones to make a search.
Hey Cortana.
Exactly.
Give me something, and then it's hard to put a Google ad in there.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Oh, by the way, you can get a babysitting lawnmower right now for cheaper than the other ones.
Yeah, yep.
And so, yeah, that's probably not going to... It's going to be hard to push advertising in some of those things where it's a little bit more... You're not looking at a screen.
Well, that's the thing is... People are going to figure out a way to advertise to that. My gut feeling is that... let's say you've got a smart dishwasher and a part fails in there. There's going to be some sort of competition to be the local parts store that gets shown.
Coming into the site and know some of the basics of these things. And you know, even just thinking about it, as not a lot of freelancers are using this as a tool. Mm-hmm. Let's say we can, I would assume that I'm going to be able to drive a little bit more traffic via that keyword or that set of people looking for freelancers or looking for contractors or what have you, that I'm going to have a little bit of a, not a completely open space to mm-hmm. work, but there's going to be a little bit more open space because most freelancers or contractors are not going to be, they're just not going to have the wherewithal to be putting up PPC ads.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Primarily, when you're trying to get people to your website, people that are looking for what you do, you probably go out and you write a couple blogs, you get on social media and you start advertising yourself through posts, and you put a lot of your own time into that. And really, wouldn't it make more sense to spend that time working and let PPC spend some money and take care of it behind the scenes for you? Your time's probably spent but doing other stuff.
I guess if you start to think about how much your time is worth.
Yeah.
And if your time, you know, you got to create content. That's just part of the world these days. You got to create content as an individual, as an agency. But yes, you're right. Maybe some of the time spent on creating shitty blog posts should be better spent on client work and then maybe buy some ads. But that, you know, that end line probably is going to change based on whatever we're talking about that day on It's a Code World. So, you know what? We should get rid of PPC entirely and just spend all of it. That you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so. This has been a fun experience.
Sometimes teaching something helps ingrain it further into your mind and think about how to quickly communicate it and whatnot. So where can they find us, Brett?
I'd say they should probably go to Twitter to find us.
So what's your Twitter handle?
@SnapBrett.
@SnapBrett. Mine is @TimBDesignMPLS. You can also find me at TimBDesign.com. And I do WordPress design and development in Minneapolis. Brett, you do PPC, right?
Yes. And SEM. Yep. Pretty much all components of paid digital advertising.
Yeah. And they can find you at your website as well?
Yes. I do have my own kind of freelance agency, I guess you could call it, gustoagency.com. That's where I promote myself.
Awesome. And we want to invite you to rate the podcast on iTunes. This really does help people be able to see this, and it would be useful for them.
Useful for our egos too.
Yeah, it'd be useful for our egos. And go ahead and tweet about it if you'd like, if it was useful to you. And you can check out the show notes, which will include the links to some of the resources that we talked about today at timbdesign.com/podcast-2. And we are so thankful that you listened and connect with us on Twitter.
Yes.
See you later.
Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO, to work process tips and working with clients. Stay tuned, and we'll keep talking about topics you care about. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is the badass guy who does the voiceover.